Text Claire FM on WhatsApp now. 086 1800 964.
Very welcome back to the programme. In a few moments, we'll be joined by Tommy Guilfoyle, our hurling analyst, and by Derek Dormer. But Derek Lynch is in studio. We're going to talk about, of course, the sporting action of the weekend. And we were saying on Friday, Derek, how wonderful it would be here to be talking about another All-Ireland win. It was the narrowest of margins, unfortunately.
Yeah, it certainly was. And what made it all the more heartbreaking was that with maybe 20 minutes to go, it didn't look likely at all. And it's like as if somebody starts putting your favourite tie closer and closer to you on Christmas morning, but it's given to your brother instead. It was that kind of a feeling in Croke Park yesterday, to be honest about it. So a lot of positives from a Clare perspective to take away, but I do think a lot of regrets as well, particularly maybe about the first half performance. Certainly wasn't anywhere near what we've seen from this team right throughout the season, and they admitted as much themselves afterwards. But I thought showed incredible heart and great character to fight back the way that they did, because, you know, Croke Park can be a big old lonely place. It's a fabulous place, obviously, but it can be lonesome and daunting when things aren't going your way. So they showed great heart to dig back the way that they did, and, you know, a couple of little things didn't go their way in the closing stages, and you'll always look at those and micro-analyse everything after a 1-point loss. You'd often wonder, would you be as well off bait by 21 that you're not kind of questioning all those things? So looking from a Clare point of view, a lot of positives to take from the year. A National League final loss to Kildare as well after extra time, a Munster Senior B title, and then bringing a huge Clare crowd to Croke Park yesterday. Savage saffron and blue colours all around the stadium, which was great to see. We'll talk in depth more about the game in just a moment, but right after the match, in the bowls of the Cusick stand, I got to speak with Clare manager Wayne Freeman. Wayne Freeman, I guess it's a mix of devastated pride, as kind of strange as that sounds, is it?
Yeah, no, it is. Look, I'm unbelievably proud of them. Have been for months now. It's been a fantastic journey we had this year. 9 months going at it since we started doing our gym work to now, you know, it's an incredible amount of time we have to spend together and, you know, in each other's company. So I'm incredibly proud of them. Just fell short, unfortunately, for them. You know, I'm really gutted for them, more than anything else. You know, for them as people, as well as footballers. But look, they're a hardened group. They'll get over it, and they'll do better from it as well. You know,
you touched on it there with the lads. Like, that first half performance was so unclear. Like, seemed a little bit flat, a little bit unsure. But, you know, really powered on in the last 20. And it takes character to do that, because they could have just dropped their heads and said, you know what, today wasn't our day.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we said at halftime. We literally said that was not us. You know, we were really disappointed with ourselves. There was no energy. We looked like we were playing within ourselves and with fear. And, you know, that's not what we're about. They're a brave group, so it was disappointing to see that. You know, it's just not like them. And I was surprised by it, really, because they have our full trust to go out and play and express themselves. And, you know, to put themselves behind 7 points and, you know, they had to try and claw it back. But it was never a question that we'd get back into it. You know, we felt at halftime that we would have a chance of winning this still. We've been in worse places this year. Half time in the Westmeath game, we had people sick and injured, and, you know, we were walking wounded going into the quarter final, and we got through that. And, you know, so we've dealt with these kind of things in the past, so it was never a concern for me. I always felt that we would get a chance to win it, and we'd have a few shots to win it. And, like, it comes down to one kick of the ball, but we had numerous opportunities. We actually had a lot of opportunities, a lot more really than I kind of felt until someone said it to me walking off. So we had all the chances. They showed a huge amount of character, and unfortunately for us, just run out of chances, really.
Yeah, but in an overall sense, it's pretty hard to see it now, but like the Clare crowd here today, Junction, yes. 14 was packed coming up with Clare people. What this group have done to gather that momentum behind them?
Look, 2 weeks ago when we done the media day in Cusick Park, I seen all the kids out, and I just thought it was class. Like, you know, They don't probably realise some of this stuff, but, like, they've given now young girls in Clare the chance to dream about Croke Park. You know, they'll genuinely look up to these girls as heroes. So, you know, they've probably changed the whole dynamic down there, really. You know, that there's so much support behind them, and, you know, it's phenomenal. And look at that on record. Just like to thank everybody for travelling up today, because it's not easy, you know, because the hair's down the road. West Clare is 3.5 hours away, you know, so it's an incredible feat for them to come up and support us. And, you know, it's what the girls deserve for all the work they've been put in. So just thanks to everybody there.
And just finally, it's probably a harsh learning experience. Croke Park can be an unforgiving place, and that's probably what played out today.
Yeah, in the first half, yeah. And then the fear went out of us then. And we took the shackles off a bit and we went at them. But yeah, like we said it beforehand, you know, it can be a lonely place out there at times. They're surrounded by a massive stadium, and, you know, it can be difficult, but, you know, their mindset is very strong, and, you know, they're they're incredibly motivated and determined group. So look, really proud of them, like I said, and we'll just have to take this on the chin, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think that last sentence from Wayne pretty much summing it up, that the difficulty of taking it on the chin but still staying proud of what was achieved. Derek Dormer with us on the line to look back on it, and I guess that's the overriding thing even this morning, Derek, from a clear sense, trying to marry the disappointment of the first half with the character they showed in the second, and then just wondering what if.
Yeah, plenty of what ifs, Derek. It's heartbreaking. Look, I'm suffering here, to be honest about it. I was speaking last week to something Alfie Rogers, the Scarfa Gunlow manager in the Camogie, said to me. He said, you don't have to be the best team in the championship to win a championship. You just have to be the best team on the day. And Kildare were the best team on the day. I just feel Clare are the best team in the championship, and that's what's heartbreaking. Lethargic, pondersome, just slow. I think no energy for 40 minutes, lifeless. And then it was like a switch went on, and suddenly there was only one team in Croke Park, and it was a wave after wave of saffron of blue and blue attack. Couple of wides, near misses, great save from the Kildare keeper, couple of decisions. It was just, I think it was written in the Stars that it was just wasn't meant to be. It had that feeling of inevitability about it. And we were gutted, me and you doing the commentary, and a couple of times we nearly came out of the holding stand. We were leaping from our seats with some of the decisions that went against us. But that sport, it can be unforgiving, it can be cruel, but it has been a remarkable journey, and all them girls, every single one, from 1 to 30 or 36, whoever's on the extended panel, they deserve huge credit, because nobody, and I do mean within the county and outside of the county, give this bunch a chance. The rank outsiders at the start of the year, when Freeman's management team ignored all that, they got down to hard work, they progressed with every single game, and they've given us a year to remember. Although it ended in heartbreak, what a fantastic year. As you said, National League finalists, Munster Senior B winners, All-Ireland finalists, great days out. And I'm just really, really hopeful that Wayne Freeman and his management team commit to another 12 months, that as many of the girls can stay on as possible. And this time, 12 months from now, we'll be actually celebrating back in Kilmurry, Brecon, for you, Derek, with the cup, you know. So, look, it's heartbreaking, but there's an overwhelming sense of pride too in the journey that they took us on.
Yeah, I thought it was a lovely moment yesterday. Initially, there was that kind of devastation on the field. You know, everybody in a Clare jersey kind of just collapsed out of exhaustion and disappointment as much as anything. But then when they turned and looked at the lower tiers of the Hogan stand, there were all the fans that had come up. There were the family members. There were the partners. You know, everybody was there to console them and congratulate them in the one sweep as well. So, like, that will have lifted their spirits, I have no doubt.
Yeah, and I was speaking to Chloe Maloney afterwards, and she said what a fabulous day it was. Now, obviously she was gutted, but you know, when you look down at the field, you saw all the players going over, hugging and embracing their family members, as you said, and like the whole occasion. I mean, it's All-Ireland final day. It's the biggest day in their sport. It's the biggest day in ladies football, and Clare played their part in it. And maybe in hindsight, look, I think I was speaking to a few of the girls. They were really tired from staying in the hotel. They didn't get a good night's sleep. And, you know, all of them things can be looked at. But as you said to me coming down, you win that by a pint, you ignore all them things. You lose by a pint, you're analysing everything. It's just, you know, it is what it is. But at the end of it all, heartbreak is still outweighed by pride in what the girls have achieved, because, as I said, rank outsiders, nobody gave them a sniff, and, you know, they were within a referee's decision. Let's be honest about it, how Laurie Ryan did not get a free will baffle me to the day I die, from forcing a replay. So, I mean, they gave everything for the cause, as they've done all year. It's just the first 40 minutes. It's something they'll always look back and go, God, we didn't show for that. If they had, as I said, I think they're the best team in the country, and I think they, you know, should have won the All-Ireland, but on the day, Kildare were certainly the better side.
Yeah, they'll have to just rebuild and regroup and refocus, because they've got the club championship to come next weekend, so there's not a lot of downtime, although they'll enjoy today, I think, by the plans that were being laid out coming home yesterday evening. Derek Dormer, thanks for that. That's the ladies football. You can hear that full interview again with Wayne on our website as well, and listen back to the closing stages of the commentary, if you'd call it that. I don't know, it's a commentary or roar and whatever we were at, but it's on the website for you to listen to anyway. Tommy Guilfoyle with us now to look back on the club hurling weekend. Tommy, a busy weekend, didn't get finished until yesterday evening in Tulla with Aerogues 1-point win over Broadford, but in an overall sense, what are the results that stand out for you?
Yeah, I suppose they're starting off on Friday night. I suppose Scariff's, you know, victory over Aina Kilnamona while the, you know, the victory, you know, Scarlett put themselves in a position winning the first game, but I think it was the manner in which they did it. They really, you know, believed in themselves and went after Aina Kilnamona, and they got the scores, you know, goals win games, and, you know, what an evening it was for Patrick Ryan, got 3-3. So I don't think Aina Kilnamona could have many complaints. They were just poor on the evening, and now, unfortunately, it looks like they're in trouble and their season is on the line. So, you know, and then on the other hand, that was Newmarket and Fagel progressed through their groups with their second victories. And, you know, second game of the weekend, I think Calera, you know, put down a marker. You know, very impressive against against the Six Mile Bridge team that, you know, went into the game as favourites. But I think, you know, just Clonlara outworked them. And, you know, again, superbly led by, you know, John Conlon and young Dermot Stritch up front. Really impressive. You know, and then you had the teams that had lost their first round. And, you know, now you have teams with that have lost two rounds. And, you know, they're staring down the barrel of the third relegation. Crosheen were impressive winners against O'Callaghan's Mills. Cracklow, you know, recovered their season with an easy victory over Wolf Tones, who struggled by all accounts, and Bellier, you know, just getting over the line against Dora Bearfield. And again, as you said, finished up yesterday evening, a rogue just scraping over the line against Broadford. So things really hotting up in the championship. But what a weekend, the third round, you know, it'll be make or break for teams.
Yeah, there's a lot of permutations to be worked out, and some of them are maybe just direct head-to-heads as well. So, I mean, we'll have a better picture, I suppose, when we sit down to look ahead to those games in a couple of weeks' time. But just to get your thoughts on this, Tommy, across the weekend, a real sense looking at some of those results that this perhaps is the most wide-open championship we've seen. That Aroge maybe not hitting the heights of last year yet, Six Mile Bridge looking worryingly flat, I thought, against Clonlara, and Clonlara equally good. And then obviously Ballier have come through their second win, but Tony Kelly injured, and Aina Kilnamona, who would have been highly rated, struggling as well. So when you go through who might be in that last eight, it's extremely, extremely even, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I think probably, you know, prior to the championship, the top four, probably in a lot of people's eyes, they've certainly come back to the pack, the chasing pack. And, you know, I suppose that's led by, you know, Newmarket and Fergus, probably Fecal, you know, Crosheen will see a chance. Cracklow are back in the picture, you know, so it is a lot to play for. I suppose for some clubs, you know, Callaghan's Mills will be disappointed after winning the Clare Cup, you know, that they haven't moved on in the championship. You know, Wolf Tones would have promised a whole lot. You know, they're disappointed. They have two games lost. I thought, you know, Clarecastle were very workmanlike, made it hard for Fecal on Saturday afternoon. You know, so they'll take the positives into that game against Aroge in the last round. But you would say that, you know, the big disappointment would be, you know, Aina Kilnamona, as you said, very, very flat, very, you know, disappointing, Wolf Tones. But, you know, as you said, I think the group four, I think with Aroge and Fecal and Clarecastle and Broadford, that still, you know, is going to go down to the last day, you know, and there'll be lots of permutations there. I saw it last night. Too much to go into. But overall, I think, you know, progressing nicely, you know, bubbling up for the third round. And I suppose the likes of Scariff, you know, maybe Crosheen, you know, putting their hands up. Clooney Quinn are still there. And, you know, Saturday evening, or Friday evening, I think Scariff, you know, were probably the most impressive team in the manner in which they went about their business, you know, scoring four goals. And I thought what really summed up Scariff after the game was that after-match picture with, you know, their teammate Owen O'Grady, you know, in the stand. And I thought that, you know, was the culmination of a great evening for Scariff. But, you know, there's lots of hurling to play yet. Scariff aren't going to be fooled. They have Bellier and Kilmaley to play, but things looking up there for Scariff.
Yeah, and just I was going to finish on that point with one of the teams you mentioned there, Kilmaley, sitting back this weekend with their bye weekend. The schedule has probably fallen nice for them, that they've had this break in the middle and then the two final rounds to come, and they are certainly in the mix too, even though, you know, we're not talking about them this morning because they didn't play, but they're certainly up there.
Yeah, and again, look at Derek, I think as we move on in the championship, I think, you know, the dual mandate, you know, how it's managed will reflect, I think, on some clubs. obviously the hurling only clubs will have that slight advantage of you know the week's break in between, and that so there's lots to play. You know, there's lots to play for going forward, but you know the next round it's do or die, and you know some club seasons are on the line, and of course no one wants to be heading into the dreaded relegation battle. So you know there'll be teams fighting tooth and nail to retain their status, but you know you would say you know while the championship is of an equal standard, while it hasn't been you know outstandingly brilliant, I think the evenness of it has made a lot of the matches very, very, you know, entertaining and close encounters.
It certainly has. It's hard to believe that by the time the next round is played, it'll be back to school time, which just shows you how quickly the month of August in particular has gone. So too has our time this morning. Tommy, thanks for joining us there to look back on the weekend's hurling action. And if you want to hear reaction from the camps as well, we have a podcast on the website from the managers getting their thoughts on how the weekend went. So loads to listen to there as well, Pat.
Thanks very much indeed, Derek Lynch, and indeed Derek Dormer earlier, and Tommy Guilfoyle as well.